Royal Radio on Siren Radio with some of the finest theatricals on the planet.
Well, the 25th of September, if you haven't already earmarked it in your diary as a must-see showtime date, then do it now. If you can get a hold of a ticket, by all means, go for this, because we have the fabulous return of Chantry Dance to the New Theatre Royal Lincoln with an awesome cast. It's a new production, The Guardian of the Forest, and to talk about it and provide some of the little smidgens of detail with respect to this fantastic show, we're delighted to welcome from Chantry Dance the wonderful co-founder, Paul Chantry. How are you, Paul?
I'm very well. How are you?
Well, it's great to connect with your good self, as ever. And this particular one, I know, has got a lot of folk excited. It's been created by Ray Piper, again, who's produced so many classic things together with yourself, with Olivier-nominated West End shows and so on. But this seems as though you've taken it to use the cliche, another level. You've got Shannon Parker in the lead as well. It's fantastic.
Oh, yeah, we have definitely have Shannon this year. Shannon has been with us for quite a few years now, and we adore Shannon. So, like, obviously, some of you will remember Shannon from Britain's Got Talent, and she's just a joy to have in every single show that we have. And she never fails to disappoint our audience. I know she has a fantastic following, especially in Lincoln. It's very close to her heart, is Lincoln.
Absolutely. I think we'll say she never fails not to disappoint her audience. She always pleases her audience, as opposed to she never fails to disappoint her audience. It's all very confusing. Maybe we'll solve it in the edit. Paul, talk to us about this, because it's Beauty and the Beast. Most people are familiar with respect to the story of La Belle and La Bête. They may be familiar with it from the Disney approach, from the movie approach, from a whole range of things, as that sort of view. What have you done with it to actually add to the whole notion? Why The Guardian of the Forest as the overriding title?
Well, The Guardian of the Forest, because we wanted to give it a new feel, and so like you say, you know, the Beauty and the Beast title is very well known to everybody, but to bring it up to date, to appeal more to a contemporary audience, we feel like we had to just revamp the story itself. So we've added in a lot of new things, and especially the title. We felt like if we're gonna revamp the whole show, let's revamp the whole title. And it adds a bit of curiosity to people. You know, what's a guard in the forest? And they come and they're fascinated by what they see.
I've always been very impressed with the fantastic work that yourself and Ray have actually produced. And the Chantry Dance Company has certainly demonstrated, as we said at the start, it's certainly got the ability, the skill, and a whole range of things from that. But it strikes me as though what you've done with this is even more interesting. The only thing is, surely wouldn't Peter Parker have been an ideal beast? Or have you got somebody else to actually co-host with respect to Shannon Parker?
Oh, Peter would have been great, but fortunately, Peter is very busy at the moment. Now, we have a fantastic dancer called Ryan Upton, who's joining the company for the first time this year, and he's fantastic. And we've been 2 weeks in rehearsals so far, and he's living and breathing the character of the Beast.
As we said, this is a reimagining for the 21st century audience, based, of course, on the original folklore tale from France, La Belle et la Bête. Clearly, this is a post-COVID production, thank the Lord. But talk us through some of the key things that you've actually worked with in this, because I can see that basically we have the vain Lord Beath, who wants to cut down the forest to expand his city. I can see a green agenda coming across there. You stop to the plan is put forward by the Green Lady, who again turns him into the Beast, of course, who's compelled to guard the forest. Hence the title, Guard Against Destruction by Greedy City Folk, etc. Was that something you also had in mind to kind of address the contemporary nature of life in the 21st century with obviously the fairy tale of centuries past?
Yeah, absolutely. It was absolutely our intention as we started writing the story. We love taking the stories that everybody knows, and like I said before, just giving them new life, delivering them to people in a different way. So even though people that may know the Beauty and the Beast original story, it's just seeing the whole story with fresh eyes, and especially this element, because like you say, it has such a green element in it, especially with climate change happening horribly at the moment, is an element that Ray and I are very passionate about. It's a topic very close to our hearts, and we just wanted to incorporate that into the story, really. And just make people aware of it in a less, not so much in a kind of, we're not putting a political standpoint and leading with that in the whole show. It's just an element in there that people can take away that element in it if they wish to. If not, that's absolutely fine.
Sure. Although I must admit, the idea of seeing Liz Truss doing a jeté or a pas de deux across the stage would be quite interesting. But yeah. just a thought. Maybe she'll have other things on her plate by the time September 25th actually comes around. But what the hey? It's got a fantastic new score from composer Tim Mountain. Again, looking towards that, is that something which you had in mind in terms of almost, no pun intended, root and branch reform and readaptation or reimagining of the original tale?
Yes, completely. And we love working with Tim. This is his, I want to say, fifth or sixth composition for us now. And he's surprised, and he really does surprise us all the time on what he comes back with. And he's very much on the same page as us when it comes to bringing new life to tales that everybody knows. So then when we came up with this tale and we said to him, look, we want to include a lot more folk, a lot more Celtic influence in this, he was completely on board, and he loves that world anyway. So yeah, we were all on the same page, which was great.
I mean, I've always got the feeling with Chantry Dance Company that you do seem to effortlessly manage to produce genius. What's the secret, Paul?
Keep surprising people. Never always be aware of what our audience love to see. That is always one of the thoughts at the forefront of our minds when we start creating, but also to surprise people the whole time. So in this one, you know, we have, obviously, it's a dance company. Dance is the primary language that we use, but you know, we have lots of prizes. There's acrobatics in there. There's lots of things, but I'm not going to give too much away at the moment. People have to book tickets to come and see what those things are.
Very much so. It's 7:30 p.m. of course on the 25th of September at the New Theatre Royal Lincoln, just the one night only. Where are you going to be taking it after it's you performed at Lincoln?
We go to the Victoria Theatre in Halifax. We go to the Leatherhead Theatre, the Trinity Theatre in Tunbridge Wells, the Swan Theatre in Worcester. We go to the Marina Theatre in Lowestoft, and we go all the way down to Neild in Chippenham. So, yeah.
So an extended tour in many ways, which is yes. Great. And for people who are listening to this and they've already bought their tickets, so they want to be part of the whole sort of system, and they might have children, or there might be children listening to this as well, who kind of are keen to actually get into the world of dance. What advice would you give them? Because obviously not everybody can step into the level and quality that you got at the Chantry Dance Company from that point of view. What are the kind of key things you would advise?
If you want to go into dance as a career, as a living, then I would definitely say make sure 100% that is what you want to do. Because as you can imagine, it's very physically taxing on the body. So you really have to enjoy it. You really have to enjoy it.
And in terms of obviously the way in which the Chantry Dance Company has actually thrived and continues to develop, we won't ask for the secret because obviously that's a whole sort of system. But in terms of that, working in partnership with obviously Ray and developing the whole system of that, have you already got plans afoot for 2023, 24, 25 and beyond?
Yeah, we've got loads of plans. We always have to think ahead. We've got lots of plans. In the pipeline, some for Chantry Dance, some for a new adventure that we've actually just started as regards a film production company called Whoever You Are Productions. So that is very busy because we've just, I say just, 2021, we produced a short dance film that has won about 20 awards in the festivals in America. And has been nominated for 2 Angle Awards in LA. So Ray and I are doing a lot of traveling backwards and forwards from LA. So there are plans to continue creating the short films and a documentary for our production, for our film production company. We're currently also working on the new David Walliams show, which is Demon Dentist, which opens on the 8th of September. So yeah, very, very busy. Variety is the thing of life. That's what we love. Doing lots of different things. stops us from being bored.
Well, that's true. Now, we've already mentioned the fantastic Shannon Parker, who is on board for this particular thing. Looking at some of the other wonderful artists that you've got within the company, do we get a chance to see Callie Coyle, Megan Woodfield, India Rich? Who else is actually performing with respect to this wonderful occasion?
Yeah, fantastic. So, yeah, so obviously, apart from the three ladies you just mentioned, who are fantastic dancers, and we love having them in the shows, we've also got the Lincoln's very own James Kelly. I'm sure many people who have been to the New Theatre Royal in Lincoln actually know of James, and he's a wonderful dancer. He was actually part of the Chantry School vocational course, so he trained with us for 3 years and has been on probably two or three of our tours so far as an ensemble dancer. But this year, because he's improved so much, we've actually given him more of a lead role. So everyone should come and see James in one of his first lead roles with the company. We also have a lady called Ursula Whiteley from Halifax. We also have a beautiful dancer called Andrea, who's performing the role of the Rose, and she's from Italy. So we have quite a few dancers from all over the place in the company. We like to bring in as many different dancers from as many different nationalities as possible, because it just influences us and it just brings a richness to all of our work. So obviously, because we have Shannon, who's from America, and then we've got Andrea, who's from Italy. So lots of wonderful dancers from all over the place, all coming together in Grantham at the moment to create what we hope and we believe will be a fantastic show for everybody.
Which is generally impressive. Andrea, of course, refined her studies training with your good self. And I see that she actually started as a soloist in The Little Mermaid back in 2021 from that point of view. So obviously she's keeping the kind of fairy tale elements of ballet to the fore, really.
Oh, she is indeed, yes. So Andrea had a bit of a lead role in The Little Mermaid, but she absolutely shone in that role, and she worked incredibly hard on that role, that Ray just thought we had to give her something more. And like I said about Ryan, she's completely embracing her role and is developing every single day. So yeah, we're really, really pleased with every single one. I'm really proud of them.
Fantastic. Well, we'd certainly say tickets, you can book them now, newtheatreroyallincoln.co.uk, if you can get them. I mean, again, it's worth going for. Failing that, presumably the other touring details that we mentioned earlier in the piece, you can find on chantrydancecompany.org.
Absolutely. That's our website. That's where you can find all the information about our tour.
Paul, it's been fantastic as ever connecting with your good self. Always a delight, and good to see that Chantry Dance Company is quite literally moving on forevermore. I've got to ask you, do you have a particular musical choice, that you'd like us to segue into the next piece in this celebratory fourth anniversary Royal Radio that you think would be worthwhile? Any particular artist or composition you'd like us to feature?
Oh, now you put me on the spot. I'm a big Johnny Cash fan. So anything from Johnny Cash will always get a thumbs up from me.
Now, are we talking later Cash? Are we talking Folsom Prison Blues?
Blues. Blues period all the time. Yeah. Awesome.
Paul Chantry, co-founder, of course, of the Chantry Dance Company. Huge thanks. Obviously, we've got to ask those last two questions. Have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer, first of all, Paul?
Oh, thanks. Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
And can we look forward to featuring yourself and Ray, hopefully, in the not-too-distant future? Will you be kind enough to return?
Of course we will. We'd be delighted to.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around a bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps a-rolling on down to San Antone. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry. bet there's rich folks eating from a fancy dining car. They're probably drinking coffee and smoking big cigars. Well, I know I had it coming. I know I can't be free. But those people keep a moving, and that's what tortures me. If they freed me from this prison, if that railroad train was mine, I bet I'd move it on a little farther down the line. Far from Folsom Prison, that's where I want to stay. And I'd let that lonesome whistle blow my blues away.
The live version of Folsom Prison Blues there by Johnny Cash, the some might say unusual choice of Paul Chantrey, but then I suppose you can dance to Folsom Prison Blues as well. It's clear that if you have been following the news recently, we are in a very difficult situation as far as the country is actually concerned, and we are in a period of mourning. So although this is Royal Radio, we are hopefully going to address it with the respects that it deserves. And so when we welcome our two regular contributors to Royal Radio, that of course from the New Theatre Royal Lincoln, is the wonderful Oliver Rushby and Alex Jackson. Good to see you guys. But let's talk initially about what an awful lot of people have been doing over the last few days, of course. Their reflections on the sad loss of, obviously, Queen Elizabeth II and, of course, the new reigning monarch, King Charles III. Alex, clearly, like all of us, we know of no other monarch. Whatever your views on the monarchy or various other things, the very fact that this is Royal Radio on the basis of the New Theatre Royal Lincoln, you can't get away from that royalty. So what are your thoughts on your own memories regarding Queen Elizabeth II?
Yeah, I mean, as you say, it's the only monarch any of us have ever known, so it feels very strange and odd all of a sudden to have a king. But I mean, from the theatre side of things, we were all so saddened to hear about her passing, especially because she did so much for the arts and was a real advocate of that. So it's especially hard to then keep looking ahead to performances and things, knowing that, you know, we'll probably have to dim the lights and play the national anthem because it is a time of mourning and we need to respect that.
And that's certainly something which I think the listener will be pleased to see that is actually occurring, because, you know, we know that there are certain situations regarding sport. Some sports chose to effectively progress and continue, not necessarily as normal, but they continue. In any case, obviously, football didn't. There are other sort of issues with respect to that. Ollie, your thoughts on the whole thing? Again, just share with us, for any people who sort of feel, well, I don't know, should we go to the theatre in this time of mourning? I mean, in a sense, I think, without being cliche, and obviously I don't know the thoughts of the late Queen Elizabeth II, but I suspect part of the whole essence of what we've seen over the last few days is that we do, in those immortal words, keep calm and carry on.
Yeah, I suppose it's the theatre cliche of the show must go on, almost, isn't it? I think we kind of, we had a lot of discussions internally about the best way to go forward. And we kind of had a lot of advice from the UK Theatre and SALT. And they kind of said, here's what we suggest you do. Like Alex mentioned, dim the lights, play the national anthem, but still continue with shows. So that's kind of the tact we're taking. But kind of exactly right, I said it's weird. Like when I first heard God Save the King, it sounds strange because obviously it's always been the Queen throughout my lifetime. I heard an interesting fact over the weekend. It said the Queen, they predict that one in three people in the UK have met the Queen or seen the Queen, which is bonkers, really. Yeah. I mean, I never saw her at all, but just that obviously has such a huge impact on the whole country. And she's basically the most famous person in the world, really.
And a great figurehead for the UK as well.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. And indeed, I think it's more 2 degrees of separation in lots of instances, given, of course, that just down the road from the new Theatre Royal Lincoln, the University of Lincoln was itself opened by Her Majesty the Queen back in 1996. So, again, that all interconnects. However, as you said, the show must go on, and we have Kathy Mensah, who has thankfully returned safely from her journey to the Ukraine and is now back with us at least for a few weeks in terms of British connections, etc. Now, Kathy, I have to ask the question, have you as yet managed to cross the threshold and visit the new Theatre Royal Lincoln?
I have not been able to. I have walked by it, but that's as close as I have gotten to being inside it.
Okay, so I think it's fair to say, Ollie, with some great shows coming up in the next few weeks after the period of mourning, etc. We've already talked about one, of course, which I think Kathy would thoroughly enjoy, which is, of course, the ballet spectacular, Beauty and the Beast, of course, of the Chantry Dance Company on the 25th of September. I mean, that's got to be, I mean, we've already talked with Paul Chantry about that, and the fact that you've got the fabulous Shannon Parker, American, of course, taking the lead role as one of the key dancers in the whole system, means it's probably one of the key highlights. And in a sense, we must be quite pleased, actually, Alex, that has occurred really after the official period of mourning, that actually on the 25th, it is something that people can attend quite happily, well, hopefully, and thoroughly enjoy the whole experience.
Yeah, I mean, a ballet is always a very uplifting thing to come and see. And Chantry are obviously very local. They've come to us a lot of times before. And we have a great rapport with them now. So they bring a lot of a fan base with them who always love seeing their productions because the costumes are incredible, the sets are incredible, and obviously the dance is amazing as well. So it is just really an uplifting performance to see and a great family show as well.
Have you been to the ballet recently, Kathy?
The last time I went to the ballet was maybe 2 years ago. I went to go see Nutcracker, which is a classic in my family to go see.
Well, then clearly, Ollie, we should actually ensure that Kathy has one of her official press passes to actually go and check out the whole notion of Beauty and the Beast and a whole new rendition of it with the Chantry company. But are tickets still available? Because I mean, this is something I suspect that due to the popularity, there might be very few spaces available for that one.
We've still got a few tickets left for that one, so come on down. Like I said, Alex said, they've been here a few times over the years, Chantry Dance, so it's been a great show. So looking forward to having them back.
Excellent. Alex Jackson, that is, of course. You came up with an interesting statistic, which I think we need to acknowledge for this edition of Royal Radio. Look, who anticipated that since we started these particular shows, we've had a global pandemic, we've had a change in Prime Minister, we've had a change in monarch. I mean, it's just one thing after another, but I think you wanted to have at least a celebratory notion that I believe you discovered this is actually our fourth anniversary of Royal Radio.
Yes, somehow it's been 4 years since Royal Radio started, and it has just kind of today is the four-year anniversary. And apparently we have had 33 Royal Radios since then, which between us we can't quite comprehend because it seems like we never have time to sit down with you and chat. But 33 is quite a lot. But as you were saying there, I was on a backstage tour this weekend and our resident stage manager pointed out that we need to change our safety curtain now because it says we've seen two monarchs, I think, three.
Yeah, we need
to add another one to it now because so much has changed in the past year or two. We feel like we've been living in a history book.
Yeah, very much so. And so that where we started, we were in the studio. We still will be back in the studio. I mean, we've been back in the studio since the pandemic, but again, technology is progressing and it's a whole new issue that we're working through. Okay, let's move to the music of the 90s. I mean, this in many ways is Kathy's era, really. I think being a Miami-based child of the 90s, this is where, when it comes to music of the 90s, you probably say, yeah, go music of the 90s and so on. Ollie, share with us what's happening with this fabulous edition, Music of the 90s, before, of course, we start deciding what 90s music would focus in this particular edition of Royal Radio.
I think this is right up our street and a bit of 90s music. I could listen to 90s music all day, I think. So basically, it's a throwback to the 90s, obviously. It's 21 tributes, so 45 songs, over 100 costume changes, everything from Take That to Boyzone to Spice Girls and everything in between, really. So we're looking forward to that one.
You just threw in a couple of statistics there. 45 smash hits, 21 chart topping tribute acts, and 90 costume changes.
100
yeah. Costume changes. I mean, that sounds more like going for the Guinness Book of Records than anything else from this particular side of things there. Again, 100 costume changes, authentically choreographed, multi-talented performers. The best party night to hit theatres ever. I mean,
there you go.
If ever there was a sort of way of saying farewell to September 2022, try to remember the kind of September on the 30th of September, this would, it seem, be it. So, I mean, Kathy, we've got the era of the boy bands, girl power, Spice Girls, of course, Mysterious Girls, Men in Black. What are your own personal favourite tunes from the 90s, Kathy?
Oh, man, we could be here all day if I had to tell you about my favorite 90s, specifically R&B and hip hop is a special place in my heart. I'm also hoping when you said there's over 100 costume changes that they're Saved by the Bell inspired, just like personally, that would be beautiful for me. but, you know, I will give it to the original throwback. My first concert, I was 10 years old and I got a free ticket to go see Britney Spears. And I think she's like, you know, the OG when it comes to 90s music. But I wanted to ask the question to you guys, out of all these smash hits, what is your favorite smash hit?
Oh, Lumen.
I know.
You know what? It's so basic, but Wannabe by Spice Girls never fails to make me be like, yeah, it's a party now. I'm ready to go. Like, where's the dance floor? I'm there.
Agreed. If you said, like, favourite 90s band, I'm going straight for Spice Girls. Just to sound a bit different, let's go, oh, I don't know, a bit of Take That, you know. Maybe a bit of Pray, because then I can do the dance routine as well.
That does not surprise me.
Of course it does.
Yo, I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. Don't tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. Don't tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I wanna really, really, really wanna zig a zig. If you want my future, forget my past. If you wanna get with me, better make it fast. Now don't go wasting.
If you wanna be my lover. Well, we've just heard Wannabe by the Spice Girls, and we'll hear Praise by Take That in the fullness of time from that point of view. It just opens up our origins. Can you believe it, though? I mean, we're talking about the 90s. That's nearly three decades ago. I mean,
yeah.
It's like the last century just scooted on there. Time is astounding. Tickets available for the Total 90s. Would you say it's the best bet is to go to New Theatre Royal Lincoln, .co.uk.com and actually locate the things there, or how would you, what would you advise, Alex?
Yeah, so obviously you can head to our website, newtheatreroyallincoln.co.uk, or you can visit our box office between 10 and 2 on weekdays. And obviously if you head to our social media as well, it's pinpointed all over there, so you won't be able to get lost. You're heading straight to the page.
Before hiding from a word I need to hear now. Don't think I'll hear it again. But the nights were always warm with you, holding you right by my side. But the morning always comes too soon.
Talked about the Guardian of the Forest, of course, just in case people say, why do we say, I was saying Beauty and the Beast? Well, Guardian of the Forest, it is Beauty and the Beast. It's just done for a sort of different setting for by a Chantry dance comedy. But I see you also have The Telltale Heart, which emerges also just ahead of the joys of the 90s, etc. And this is based on Edgar Allan Poe's classic Victorian chiller, again delivered by the awesome Rumpus Theatre Company. So would you like to talk us through this particular production of Edgar Allan Poe's version of which actually their production of The Pit and the Pendulum was, according to what's on stage, ripping and terrifying. This is one for the more mature audience, basically 15 and above.
That's right. Yeah. Actually, interestingly, we're chatting to a school. It's actually one of the some schools. It's part of their core text as well. So if you're shooting out there listening, you want to bring your school along, do that. But yeah, this is brought to us by Rumpus Theatre Company, John Goodrum, who I know we've spoken to quite a few times, Alex, on our Raw Radio features. They've been here before with The Signalman, The Black Veil, The Father Brown Murder Mysteries. And so this is going to be another one of those chilling thrillers, as he likes to say. He's most recently here in Who Killed Agatha Christie as well. So John is basically, most people, part of the family now. He just comes along whenever he likes.
Imagine you have committed a murder. Imagine someone heard the scream and the police come calling. They're friendly enough, but will your conscience betray you? And what is that noise in your ears that grows ever louder? Is it the beating of your own guilty heart? Or is it the heart of the man you've just killed? Does that appeal, Kathy, having just come back from Ukraine? Not that you were killing anybody. You were saving lives, if anything.
No, just documenting. I was an English teacher for many years, and so obviously Edgar Allan Poe is definitely part of the curriculum. And I always get into this debate because I talk to international students, and I've come to find out, and it may seem obvious now that I say it out loud, but it wasn't obvious to me at the time, is that, what an American education and what an English education, there's always like kind of a separation when it comes to writers. And so I always wonder if in like English schools they do learn Edgar Allan Poe, since he is technically an American author. But, you know, in my country, we did learn Shakespeare, and that's a British author. So how could you not? I mean, but if you talk to someone who's from Sweden or Norway, they would have never talked about Shakespeare or Edgar Allan Poe. So I'm just kind of curious, is this a story that you knew from your childhood or something you kind of discovered later?
I think for me, I was an English undergraduate, so I basically specialised in like Victorian, Gothic, all that fun, upbeat stuff. So I definitely learned of Edgar Allan Poe there. And I think it'll be so interesting to see how they do it in a stage play, because obviously there's a lot of kind of unclear who the narrator is, who the main characters are. And, you know, Rumpus are really great at taking such iconic works and translating them onto the stage. So I do think it'll be a really interesting adaptation.
It does.
My English knowledge is quite as great as Alex's. I think I did. I can remember Holes and Of Mice and Men, and that's about it.
And there are some people who probably their sole recollection of Edgar Allan Poe would be the Treehouse of Horror incarnation of The Simpsons, in which the raven is tap, tap, tapping. But that's another line for another day entirely from that point of view. Other things towards the end of September that we're still well worth considering. Again, we've got more dance, I see, on the 26th of September with Tango Passions and Vincente Simone in Tango Passions. A little bit different from clearly the sense of the Chantry Dance Company, but still obviously foot tapping in its own way.
Alex is the biggest Strictly fan here, so I'll let her take this one.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's the absolutely perfect way. With Strictly just around the corner, this show will really get you into the glitter ball season. Obviously, Vincent is an ex-professional from Strictly, the original Italian stallion for many of us, and absolute king of tango in all its forms. So it is going to be a phenomenal show. And I mean, Strictly Theatre Company that bring it do these amazing productions. So anyone that hasn't even seen Strictly will love the show just for what it is on its own as well. But yeah, as you can tell, I'm a little bit excited about Strictly starting.
And it's worth noting that, Kathy, you'll be delighted to know that on the 1st of October, we have not only the Nutcracker, with the Classical Ballet and Opera House, but also Swan Lake. Is this a double? Is this a mashup of both Swan Lake and the Nutcracker, or are they separate? Are there separate performances here, Ollie?
Not quite a mashup, but that's probably a show I'd like to see, actually. No, it's one in the afternoon, it's Nutcracker in the afternoon at 2:30, and then Swan Lake in the evening at 7:30. So they're working the dancers hard that day, but they're coming in the morning, get ready, get stretched out, and then do two performances, rather them than me, I suppose.
Well, not just two performances, but it's two, because you said two completely different productions. So again, in terms of sorting, I mean, we can acknowledge that sometimes pantomime, and tickets are available obviously for the Lincoln pantomime coming up later in the year, but of course that is sometimes you get 2 or 3 days the same, but at least you got the same thing to do two separate ones. I would have thought it's like jockeys riding different horses in different races, really.
I suppose so. I've never tried that, so yeah, maybe it is.
Kathy, any questions that you'd like to put about the upcoming delights that we've got at the New Theatre Royal?
Oh, man. I mean, it sounds like you just have a lot of fun coming up. And I think it's going to be absolutely something necessary after this time to have a reason to kind of celebrate. But I was curious. I was wondering, from after all these shows and performances, do you see like inspiration with kids wanting to go into dance or act or singing, and what's that's been like to witness?
I think you do. Yeah. I mean, we've just recently had our auditions for pantomime. And also about a month ago, we had our stage school, Kevin, performed on our stage, which we actually read to Usher, so we watched that. And it was great to see kids of, quite honestly, all different ages and abilities, and seeing they were here all week, basically, rehearsing towards the show, and to see them put the show together just after 5 days of being together, basically. It's quite amazing. I mean, we both love theatre. I've done theatre bits since I was a kid and worked my way through it. I know Alice, she says she hasn't, but I reckon she's a secret singer and dancer. She keeps it to herself. But
she's spending too much time reading Edgar Allan Poe and working out how to kill people.
Yeah. Don't say that when she sat next to me. I think theatre has such value in education. I don't think it's always appreciated that much, but I mean, I personally got a lot from it. So yeah, I think it's important.
And I think for me, it's seeing kids get into theatre as well, not necessarily in performing, but just getting a love of it. Like, one of my favourite things is when we have a kids show in, like we had Tiger who came to tea recently, and you get all of these really little ones turning up in tiger costumes and so excited to see something live on a stage. And then after that, they get such a buzz from theatre and such a love for it that it becomes really, you know, quintessential to their life and their experience. And that's just what it's all about, I think.
In less than a month from now, of course, the 6th of October, Mum's the Word. Quite literally, the mother of all shows. The stuff nobody tells you about parenthood until it's too late. This sounds as though it could be an absolute sensation, given that you've got Gemma Bissix from EastEnders, you've got Sarah Dearlove from Housewives on Holiday, and indeed a newbie Amy Ambrose to the whole system.
Yeah, it's going to be another fun one. It's brought to us by a team called Red Entertainment. They've recently brought us Girls Just Want to Have Fun, Hormonal Housewives, loads of really funny plays, which often have music in them, which I've been to one of them before, where I was basically one of maybe five men in the audience. I've never felt so victimised in all my life. But it was hilarious. All the jokes were aimed at basically us. But it's a really good night out. They're always packed. So yeah, I think it's going to be another good show.
So you've got Gothic horror, you've got ballet, you've got celebrations of the feminist movement and so on. You've got all something. Again, variety seems to be very much the key word for that. I mean, and we're really just scratching the surface of the autumn season. But let's talk about the pantomime. It is coming up. And again, it's always important to buy those tickets early. Just share with us how things are going with respect to that, please, Alex.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's a hard time for everyone in a bit of a money crunch at the minute, but we're pleased to see that people are still wanting to come out to Panto and still able to, which is great. And we're seeing a really good uptake in ticket sales, which is fantastic. We've obviously got our biggest celebrity cast to date, so it's going to be a very busy theatre this Christmas, I can say that. And it's going to be full of lots of families of people performing, so it's going to be quite interesting at points, I think. But yeah, it should be a phenomenal pantomime this year, and it's been really fun to work on, so I'm looking forward to seeing it all come together now.
So it's going to be really lovely.
Go on.
Also, I was going to say, it's a bit of a family affair as well, because as you already know, Alice, our artistic director, Natalie, is actually going to be in the show with her daughter, or her daughters rather, so it's going to be nice to see Nat back on stage. It's been a while for her, I think, so.
Indeed, the awesome Natalie Hayes Cowley treading the boards once again under the proscenium arch of the New Theatre Royal Lincoln. It's just a classic drama just waiting to play itself out, which is great. Kathy, have we persuaded you to not just pass the New Theatre Royal Lincoln by as an American living in Lincoln, or like a Connecticut Yankee in New York, but a different play in a different scenario? Have we persuaded you to cross that threshold and say, yes, I'm going to, in my remaining weeks here, make the journey to actually visit the New Theatre Royal Lincoln and see some of those shows?
Look, you never had to persuade me. I'm just looking to turn in my dissertation September 30th, and then I can be free and enjoy life, like going to the Playhouse so I can watch something. I'm a fan of it all. I mean, I'm an opera background. I, of course, want to go see something in the theater, and as soon as my responsibilities are dealt with, I'm there.
Which is good news. Ollie, how do people actually stay in touch via the social media or indeed the traditional Facebook with, of course, the New Theatre Royal Lincoln?
Yeah, that's it. We're on pretty much every single social media platform going now. We're even on TikTok, which is kind of what all the kids are doing nowadays. Join us on our website, newtheatreroyallincoln.co.uk. Or just pop to the box office and give us a call on 01522 51999. Look at that.
That's very well rehearsed, isn't it?
And you can always play the podcast back if you wish to listen to it again. And you say, that was far too quick for me. No, just give me it again, please. Alex, you're our statistician, clearly. Does this, if I'm right, then this means we've just actually or about to wrap up the 34th podcast for Royal Radio. Is that right?
Yeah, this will be number 34 in a long line of fantastic Royal Radios that you can definitely go back and listen to just for fun an afternoon. Why not?
Yeah, and you can now listen to them from the Elizabethan era and, of course, now the Carolean era. So, you know, you can work through the process from that point of view for any monarchists who might actually be around and working through that process. And obviously, we shared our thoughts with respect to that. That pretty much wraps up the whole sequence. Any other final closing thoughts you'd like to share with us, Ollie?
No, I think that's good for me, yeah. Just look forward to seeing everybody here soon.
Well, certainly to Kathy Manso, to Alex Jackson, to Oliver Rushby, and of course earlier to Paul Chantry from the Chantry Dance Company. Huge thanks. And make sure you visit the theatre, especially the New Theatre Royal Lincoln, and go and see a show.